Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the Teaching Space podcast. It's Martine here. Thanks for joining me. In today's episode, we are going to explore some strategies for establishing a healthy relationship or a healthier relationship with social media. I'll be the first to admit that I really enjoy social media. In particular, for education stuff, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I like to get into some good discussions over there. And wearing my more kind of creative hat, I really enjoy Instagram. So I'm a social media person, without a doubt. It's a great source of inspiration for me, particularly creatively, and I love making connections via social. However, it's not always a fabulous place to be, and because it's become such an enormous part of many people's lives, we often take it as normal that if it is feeling unhealthy, you just have to ride it out and that is what it is. And the reason for this episode really is that it doesn't have to be unhealthy. And if you start feeling that your relationship with social isn't good, there are things you can do to make it better. What I'm going to share in this episode is based on both personal experience with social media, but also talking to lots of people on Twitter about the subject. I've also spoken to some colleagues of all different ages about what they do to ensure their relationship with social media is healthy. Before we dig into those strategies, though, let's just take a moment to think about the health level of your relationship with social media, because it might be that it's absolutely fine. What I tend to find happens is there are peaks and troughs. Sometimes for my colleagues, peers, friends, social media is a great place, it's a very happy place, and then other times it's not, and it quite often goes up and down. Now might be a good time just to do some reflecting on how social media makes you feel. The truth is, only you will know the answer to that question. Only you will know if your relationship with social media is healthy or unhealthy. Some indicators that suggest your relationship might need a little work are things like endless scrolling on your mobile. And by that I mean that moment where perhaps you're relaxing in the evening, watching a bit of TV, maybe having dinner, and you find yourself on your mobile and you're flicking between, for example, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you don't even actually remember getting there, and you're just going between the three, and it was only a few seconds ago that you checked Twitter, but a few seconds later you're back in Twitter, and how did that happen? Do you know what I mean? Can you relate? I kind of call that endless scrolling. That's not really what it is. It's more kind of flicking between accounts, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. That's not a good sign. If you are data-minded, like me, you can check how many hours a day you spend looking at social media on your mobile. I'll make sure there's links in the show notes for tutorials to show you on various devices how to find this information if you don't already know. If you've never checked your screen time, fair warning, you might be a little bit shocked. When you know how many hours a day or a week you spend on social, an interesting conversation to have with yourself is, if I wasn't doing this, what could I be doing? And I think one of the biggest shockers for me was thinking, actually, I really want to bring exercise into my daily routine. And if I'm spending over an hour on social media a day, then that actually could be exercise time. And that would be so much better for me. I'm also studying for a master's with the Open University. I'm in my second year. And that is something that I really struggle to find time for. If I drop the social media use, then of course I've got plenty of time. You see where I'm going with this? It's a really interesting thing to contemplate. I'm not saying you should drop social media in its entirety, by the way. For a lot of people, it's a bit of a lifeline, and I fully recognise that. Particularly, some teachers on Twitter I know really value the connections they have with other people, and I don't want to downplay that. That is essential to have that connection. And if Twitter is the way that you do it, or other forms of social media. I fully endorse that. You, in that situation, have a healthy relationship with social media because that is doing you good. So I just want to kind of place that caveat there. In the same vein, creating relationships online can affect your offline relationships. So to give you an example, if I'm having dinner with my partner and one of us is on their mobile devices checking Twitter, that's definitely going to irritate the other one and make them feel like their presence isn't needed or isn't valued. It's personal, really personal. Finally, spending too much time on social can affect your communication skills in real life. I think there's probably a wider conversation here about how communication technology has affected our verbal and non-verbal communication skills, but it's certainly something to think about. If you think that perhaps you need to do some work on your relationship with social, then I have a whole list of suggestions to share with you. Of course, you'll be able to find these as highlights in the show notes over at theteachingspace.com/106. The first thing I suggest you do is turn your notifications on your mobile off. No notifications for any social media. If you listen to episode 103 of the podcast, theteachingspace.com/103, you will know how I feel about notifications. Actively reduce your screen time. If you've checked your statistics, as I have suggested, you can go ahead and work to reduce them. You can actually set boundaries on your screen time with most mobile devices. If you're not sure how to do that, I would certainly Google it because it's usually quite a straightforward process. Something that's working really well for me is charging my phone in another room overnight. I've only made this change recently, and the reason I made it is to prevent, I'm going to just admit to it now, I'm very ashamed, to prevent late night social media checking. If I have a night where I just wake up at 3 a.m. or something like that and I can't get back to sleep, the first thing I would do is reach for my phone. And of course, that's the worst possible thing to do because the blue light from your phone is going to keep you awake. The stimulation you get from social media will prevent you going to sleep. It's a recipe for disaster. But of course, many of us do it. We leave our phones charging by our beds. I knew I had to make a change here, but the one thing that was stopping me, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, was that my phone is my alarm clock. And I am an obsessively punctual person. I can't risk not having an alarm go off in the morning. It turns out there's a really simple solution, and that is get an alarm clock separate to your phone. I know it's simple, but it works, and it's been a really positive change for me, and I really encourage you to give this one a try. If there's one thing you try from this list, make it this one. My next suggestion, regardless of the social media platform or platforms you use, is to not be afraid to mute, unfollow, unfriend, or block people who are making that platform feel unhealthy for you. As I mentioned, Twitter is one of the platforms I use most for education purposes. And Twitter has a built-in function where you can mute certain words that might trigger an unhealthy response to you. And that's really helpful. And I'm quite certain other platforms allow you to do that as well. In the same vein, recognize that certain accounts that you follow or certain people that you follow might be causing you stress. There needs to be a certain amount of self-awareness to recognize that stress. But when you do recognize it, then you can mute, unfollow, unfriend, block, do whatever you need to do. I know sometimes this creates a kind of balancing stress of FOMO, fear of missing out. But if social media is the only way you're getting your information, there's something not quite right there too. So give this some really serious thought. It's time for a quick ad break. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks from Audible, and I want to share the love. Grab yourself a 30-day Audible trial and free audiobook at theteachingspace.com/audible. I think for me personally, one of the most stress-inducing sensations I can feel on social media. Certainly on Facebook, which is a reason I rarely use it now, is a very unpleasant feeling of comparisonitis. Often on social media, people are only sharing snapshots of the most excellent parts of their lives. And I know you know this, but it's so important that I think it bears repeating. And if people are only sharing the most fabulous bits of their lives, you might be sitting there thinking, well, my life really isn't that fabulous. Where have I gone wrong? And then suddenly this spiral of stress happens. So it's very important you think about who you follow. And if it isn't making you feel great, stop. My next suggestion, again, this is kind of social media 101, but I didn't want to make any assumptions, and there's something very positive about going back to basics, and that is to think about what you share and when you comment. I'm conscious that as professionals listening to this episode, you probably have professional social media accounts and personal ones. That's common practice, although on certain platforms you're not allowed to have two different accounts, so be aware of that. On Twitter in particular, I am careful to pick my battles. I could launch headfirst into lots of conversations about education, and where it really matters to me, where it's important and I know I need my voice to be heard, I will go for it in a thoughtful, respectful, professional but firm way. Sometimes, for my own mental health, I opt out of doing that, and that's okay. I encourage you to think carefully about what you share and when you comment. My next suggestion is to take a break from social media. It's okay to do that, by the way. Take the apps off your phone, temporarily or permanently. I made the move recently to take Facebook off my phone as a temporary thing, and it stayed off, and I feel all the more happier for it. That is the one social media platform that caused me the most stress, and now I probably check in once or twice a week on my desktop, and that's it. In episode 103 of the podcast, I talked about ways you could essentially have a healthier relationship with email, and one of those things was creating boundaries around the time you dealt with your emails. I think the same can apply to social media. While you might not want to have blocks in the day dedicated to social, you might introduce a cutoff time, no social after 8 p.m. or something like that. It's certainly something worth exploring, and it might be you can get your phone to help you with that. Here's a crazy idea. Have phone calls with your friends rather than messaging them via the social media platform. That way you can avoid 20 minutes of scrolling Facebook if you don't have to access Messenger in order to contact your friends. Have a phone call. Improve your communication skills. I alluded to this earlier, but I think it's so important it deserves a second mention, and that is stop comparing. Remember, social media is a snapshot of someone's life, particularly tools like Instagram and Pinterest. I mean, how many Pinterest-worthy classroom setups have you seen recently? It's quite something. I'm sitting there thinking my classroom doesn't look anything like that one. It is a snapshot, and you are where you are, and that person is where they are, and really, comparison is, it's rarely a healthy thing. If those type of posts are making you feel inadequate in any way, block, unfollow, unfriend, mute, do whatever you need to do. While this won't work for all social media tools, I do enjoy the strategy of posting later. So for example, if I have an opinion I want to share on Twitter about something, but I know I need to kind of mull it over, I'm not sure if I want to post it or not, rather than just dive on in and post it, I will draft the tweet in a text app on my phone. For example, I use Drafts, and I'll come back to it later. I'll decide whether or not I want to post it in, I don't know, 3 hours or something like that. Post it later strategy, I think, can be quite healthy. And finally, this strategy works particularly well on desktop, not so well on your mobile, but still possible, I understand. Use blocking tools. If you find yourself drifting over to social media when you want to be focused on something else, something that blocks those websites, enabling you to focus on work in hand, that's a great strategy to use. So blocking tools, there's a lot of them, so I'm not going to mention any specific tools on this podcast. All you need to Google is internet blocking tools. They can be very helpful for certain people. And there we are. Let me do a very quick recap of those strategies. Turn notifications off, reduce screen time, charge your phone overnight in another room, mute, unfollow, unfriend, block, recognize accounts that cause you stress, select people to follow carefully, think about what you share and when you comment, take a break, take apps off your phone, schedule social media time, create a cutoff time, phone your friends, stop comparing, post later, and use blocking tools. Before I draw this episode to a close, I just want to remind you that if you're currently working on improving your relationship with technology generally, you might like to check out my online course, Achieve Inbox Zero. And you can find that in the Teaching Space shop, which is over at theteachingspace.com/shop. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I hope you'll join me next time. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.